We are a few weeks into the Easter season by now, but it is worth remembering this morning the story of the first Easter day. Remember how on that fateful morning, Mary Magdalene arrived at the tomb of her friend Jesus and discovered it empty. Remember how she was startled and worried, how she wept from her fear and her uncertainty and her sadness. Remember how all of a sudden, standing there in the midst, was a stranger who was really no stranger at all. Someone she temporarily confused with the gardener. "Sir, if you have carried my Lord away, just tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." In response, do you remember the one word Jesus says that brings her out of her fog? The one word that dispels instantly her grief and confusion? The one word that transforms her life and, in a real sense, the whole course of history? Mary. He says her name. Mary. In the instant, hearing her name spoken by her teacher and her friend, by her Lord, she understands the power that there was to take his life from him was no match for the power that he had to take it back up again. His love for her, his love for the whole world, was so great that no grave could contain him. So for her, for Mary, the full power and meaning and significance of the resurrection of Easter, of Jesus himself, came rushing upon her with all of its significance, with the utterance of that one word, Mary. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus reminded us this morning. "The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice," he says elsewhere. "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." For Mary, the green pastures of resurrection life become real when she hears the voice of the good shepherd speaking her name. Maybe it's because I grew up here in Texas, but the image of Jesus as the good shepherd, it was never really one that I connected with as a kid. As a child, the closest I ever came to sheep or shepherds was the image in the stained glass window above the altar in the church of my family in Temple, Christ Church in Temple. The altar stained glass window is one that features Jesus as the good shepherd, tenderly cradling a little lamb. It is a sweet image. But I can't help but wonder if Jesus had included a media or communication strategist among the 12 disciples in addition to all those fishermen. He might have adopted a different metaphor that would have helped connect better with, I don't know, a key missing demographic in most churches. Wouldn't "I am the good cowboy" work a little better among men ages, I don't know, 16 to 35? My lukewarm feeling about the whole sheep-shepherd metaphor probably is not helped by the fact that somewhere along the line in my life, I was taught that sheep are incredibly dumb, mindless creatures. Were you ever taught that? That sheep are simple and stupid? It's another example of just how much prejudice stems from misinformation and ignorance. Because it turns out that the idea of sheep being dumb, mindless creatures is a myth that was first perpetrated by the cattlemen of the American frontier in the 19th century, who were competing with sheep herders for all of that prime pasture, that green real estate in the American frontier. You see, cattle ranchers couldn't understand why sheep behave the way that they do, which is to say, not like cattle. Think about it. Call to mind the image of a cowboy on the range with a herd of cattle, sitting atop his horse, whooping and hollering to get the cattle to go where he wants them to go. It's why we call it driving cattle, after all, because you typically have to force cattle to go where you want them to go. But this is not at all what you do with sheep. Sheep won't be driven anywhere from behind. Try to herd sheep from behind, and they will simply run around you and get back behind you. Sheep prefer to be led, which is why shepherds lead them from out front, showing them that the path is clear. The shepherd goes ahead of the flock, and the sheep follow. And what's more, sheep work off trust rather than simply brute volume and intimidation. Walk into a flock of sheep as a stranger, and what you will get is a scene of absolute and pure pandemonium. But witness a shepherd walk into her or his flock, by night even, and those sheep won't even bat an eye. I once read that sheep consider their shepherd to be a sort of member of the family, and the relationship that grows up between the two is special and unique. They develop a language of their own that most others are not privy to. In Palestine today, it is still possible to witness a scene that Jesus would have no doubt witnessed himself many times 2,000 years ago, that of Bedouin shepherds bringing their flocks home in the evening from wherever they have been grazing during the day. Often several different flocks will wind up at the same watering hole at dusk, so they all get mixed up together, sometimes as many as 8 or 9 small flocks there, gathered into one big mass of thirsty wool. But the shepherds don't seem to worry too much about it, unlike those cattlemen. Because when it's time to go home, each one simply issues her or his own distinctive call, a whistle or a trill or a little tune played on a reed pipe. And that specific shepherd's sheep will emerge from that mass and follow that shepherd home. See, they know to whom they belong. They know their shepherd's voice, and it is the only one they will follow. I know my own, Jesus says, and my own know me. The trouble for us today, my fine fleecy friends, is that there are just so many voices that are luring us all the time to try to follow them, to pretend as though they are the voice of the Good Shepherd. These voices vie for our attention, constantly blaring as they do from our televisions and computers and smartphones. Every waking moment, we are listening to noise. And so, we mustn't be so surprised that some people respond to these false calls and do choose to leave the flock behind. After all, hired hands are all around us all the time, in the form of marketers and celebrities and politicians, promising as they do that they know how to make our pastures green again. But as Jesus reminds us, a hired hand runs away at the first sign of trouble, while the good shepherd instead lays down his life for the sheep. It is his voice that can be trusted to guide us into right pathways. It is his voice that can safely bring us back to green pastures and still waters. It is he who knows how to restore our weary souls. So then, how are we supposed to know that voice? That the voice we hear is really one that belongs to the Good Shepherd himself. How do we know it's not a hired hand? How are we to distinguish his voice from other voices and all the cacophony of sound that is building around us all the time, constantly imploring us to go in this, that, and the other direction? Well, first, to recognize the Good Shepherd's voice, it helps to be familiar with what he has said and what he has sounded like in the past. And in order to do that, you have to dive deeply into the Gospels to get to know what it is that he really does say, what he really does sound like. You take a deep dive into the Gospels. Think of it this way. When you receive an email from a person who says they are your, son or daughter or parent or friend or coworker, and that they're in Paris, and that they're there, and they've, you know, lost their passport and their wallet, and all you need to do that is to help them is to, you know, transfer some money to this account or Western Union, and so they'll be able to get home. You ever received that email? I have a feeling maybe some of you have. How is it that you know that it's not really them? You know what they sound like. Well, first of all, you know they're not in Paris. But you know what they sound like. You know how they typically, how they usually communicate with you. You know how they write, how they talk, how they speak. And so you are able in that moment, almost instantaneously, to intuit that something about this message is not quite right. It's not this person who pretends that they are your friend or whoever. The same is true, my friends, with Jesus. In order to know what he really sounds like, in order to know what it is that he is likely to actually want for you, it helps to build up some history and knowledge and awareness. My recommendation to get more familiar with the voice of Jesus is to start with the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. Start with Jesus' most foundational act of teaching, preaching, and illustration of the nature of the life of the kingdom. Start there, read Matthew 5 through 7, and then read it again. And then, when you feel like you've graduated from that, then you might choose to branch off and dive deeply into the parables of the prodigal son or the good Samaritan. Maybe from there you might read Jesus' final discourse to his disciples in the Last Supper in John's Gospel. Dive deeply into the Gospels so that you can know what his voice actually sounds like. The humble truth is that there are far too many Christians floating around our world today who think Jesus says things like, God helps those who help themselves, rather than love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. One is Ben Franklin. The other is Jesus. Second, to be able to really recognize the voice of the shepherd, it helps to be a part of a flock. I know that sometimes it seems as though we could get along just fine, thank you very much, by ourselves. But the flock is where all sheep find true safety and peace. As solitary individuals, you know, spiritual but not religious, we are forced to rely solely on our own personal, private, individual instincts, on our own unique and personal ability to hear the voice of the shepherd. But a flock, by simple mathematics, has more ears with which to listen. And so that means when life happens, we don't have to worry so much if, you know, we have to take a minute off from careful and attentive listening so that we can, take care of an aging parent, or look for a new job, or move our kid to college, or any number of other things that can take our attention away for a time. Because we can be confident that the others around us in our flock have their ears up, even as our ears are down. They're perked up, waiting and listening for the unique voice of the shepherd calling our name. Third, Jesus says that the good shepherd is interested in the well-being of sheep who do not yet belong to the flock. On this earth day, it is so important that we remember that the true shepherd is the one through whom all things came into being. All things. Not just, you know, those Americans who are living comfortable existences in the year 2018. All things. Jesus is eagerly seeking to restore the souls of all people And so we can be sure that we are actually hearing his voice when it is urging us to do a better job preserving the green pastures and tranquil waters of our world, so that we can then share them with others around us in the world today and in generations to come. But mostly, we must remember that the voice of the Good Shepherd always comes to us from one single direction, and that is out front. Jesus does not bark at us like he's driving cattle, nor does he drive us from behind into some sort of unknown territory. His voice calls to us and to a place that he's already gone. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not have to be afraid, because we know that he has gone ahead of us. He has walked through that valley and exited safely out the other side. So, if you sometimes have trouble hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd, please be patient with yourselves, my friends. Because some days it sounds like a whisper. Some days it sounds like a cry. Some days it even sounds like a song. It's not always even a voice that speaks in words, much less complete sentences, but it can usually be heard sometime between our getting up and our lying down, speaking your name in love, leading you beside still waters, restoring your soul. And all of God's people said,